From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
From oyster to kelp farmers, mariculture industry members gathered to share their experiences recently as part of a five-year, $49 million project to develop mariculture in Alaska. The Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District held a mariculture meetup on Wednesday, August 9th, to connect industry members and to gather information on how to sustainably develop Alaska's mariculture industry. The meetup had multiple speakers and breakout sessions for people to learn about the challenges of the industry and to discuss potential solutions. Marie Bader, a former oyster farmer with decades of experience, provided an historical perspective for mariculture in the Kenai Peninsula and highlighted its potential in the state.
Commercial fishing has dominated, but we can grow stuff right in our backyards of water gardens and commercial gardens for the benefit of the whole world.
The event is part of a five-year project run by four economic development districts in the state and the Alaska Mariculture Alliance. Last year, the project received a $49 million Build Back Better grant to sustainably develop the state's mariculture industry. The Alaska Mariculture Alliance defines mariculture as the production of aquatic shellfish like oysters and plants like kelp, but not finned animals. Alaska State Representative Sarah Vance also attended the meetup to learn more about the mariculture industry and to get feedback from attendees on a new bill related to reducing regulation for mariculture leases.
I'm here to find out if this bill is something that will help the industry get their ideas on what it should be and craft the piece of legislation to help promote their industry and make the business easier for them to do what they do best, and that's farming.
Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District Special Projects Manager Cassidy Cameron said that the meetup identified some challenges in the industry, such as bottlenecks in testing oysters, to see if they're safe to eat. The meetup, combined with continued collaboration with the Mariculture Alliance, gave the districts vital information for future actions.
We're trying to make sure that we are approaching and strategizing in a really intentional way and thoughtful manner, and acknowledge all the stakeholders and partners that are involved, and make sure that we can develop this industry that can go beyond the scope of the project.
In a visit to Homer on Thursday, U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski also spoke about the Keep America's Waterfronts Working Act, a bill that could open up research and help the growth of the mariculture industry.
We're working to incorporate additional avenues to help those who are in these very entrepreneurial areas, helping with research through the programmatic funding, which I think is also going to be important, making grant opportunities available.
Moving forward, the project will continue to support mariculture business owners through providing industry-specific loans, equipment recommendations, and by doing market research to expand where products can be sold. And thank you to KBBI's Jamie Deep for that reporting.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Trident Seafoods has dropped the price for Alaska chum salmon from 60 cents to 20 cents per pound for all fisheries. They also announced a plan to drop pink salmon prices. Trident says Russian pink salmon harvests are affecting demand for all kinds of salmon. KFSK's Hannah Floor has this report.
Trident Seafoods is the largest U.S.-owned fish processor in Alaska, with dozens of processing plants and vessels. They announced the price drop in a letter to fishermen on Saturday, saying that chum salmon markets have collapsed. They did not elaborate and did not return request for comment. But the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute says it's true. Salmon markets are flooded. Jeremy Woodrow is the executive director.
The entire global salmon market is challenged right now. And so I would say it's not just chum salmon, but it's chum salmon, pink salmon, and really all salmon species.
He says Alaskan chum salmon also have specific competition from Japan.
Japan's Hokkaido chum fishery has returned after several years of being down, and so that's added actually more chum salmon to the market as well.
Earlier this summer in Bristol Bay, Trident Seafoods was the first processor to drop sockeye prices, causing fishermen to protest. The other two processors in the area followed with price drops a few days later. In Petersburg, the two main processors are Trident Seafoods and OBI Seafoods. A representative for OBI declined to comment on the possibility that they would also drop chum prices. In its letter, Trident said that they plan to drop pink salmon prices once there is a large amount of pinks with pale meat color, or what's called PMC. Salmon meat is paler at the end of a salmon's life, when nutrients go to producing eggs and sperm sacs. It's less marketable and lower quality. But salmon with paler meat have mature salmon eggs, and usually the eggs make up for the pale meat's lower market price. But according to Woodrow, Russia is having one of its largest pink salmon years on record, and that makes it hard to compete.
Russia's selling their salmon at a much lower price in the global markets. In the last report I saw, they're likely going to catch double what Alaska's pink salmon harvest will be.
Woodrow says that inflation has also had an impact on the global seafood market.
When consumers have less spending power, they tend to leave seafood out of the shopping carts.
But that's changing. He says as inflation levels off, consumers are starting to behave differently.
Consumers are starting to add seafood back to their shopping baskets. They are starting to dine out a little bit more frequently and purchasing seafood while at restaurants.
Woodrow says that large global salmon harvest will probably continue at least into the fall. But overall, it looks like demand for seafood is increasing, and that could affect salmon prices in the months to come. In Petersburg, I'm Hannah Floor.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Black cod could be a growing problem for salmon hatcheries across the state. As KFSK's Thomas Copeland reports, climate change is warming the Gulf of Alaska and bolstering black cod populations.
Salmon hatcheries aren't for the faint-hearted. Ryan Schumann runs this hatchery in Cake for the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, or NSRA. Once enough chum swim up Gunnock Creek, Schumann seals their fate.
We'll close that gate and hit the winch button and force them into the building.
Next comes what Schumann calls the shocker.
Okay, so you electrocute them to stun them?
Yes, so females and males respectively. You can see one right next to the other there. And how he's got those gnarly teeth and she's just kind of got this cute little round head.
Finally, a bash on the head with a mini metal baseball bat and it's lights out. The females slide down one chute and out come their bright orange eggs. Returns that day were okay, but across the whole season, they are not. The reason? Not enough four-year-olds. And most chums spawn when they're four. The goal was to collect 20 million eggs this season. They've ended up with less than half of that. And Schumann thinks he knows why. When the four-year-olds were released from here as Fry back in 2020, they immediately came face to face with a mortal enemy, juvenile black cod.
The water surface just started frothing and popping with these juvenile black cod that seemingly came out of nowhere and just frothed the surface, eating these fish.
Those black cod, also called sable fish, were hungry over near Sitka too. Ben Adams is ENSRA's research manager. In 2020, he took a video during a dive underneath the rearing pens at Metavigi Hatchery on Baranoff Island.
We got in the water and it was just remarkably dark at first, was kind of the first thought that went into my head. So I'm starting to feel kind of disoriented and a little bit of vertigo. And finally, what I recognized that I was inside of this giant school of juvenile black cod where the fish were kind of swimming in a big vortex around me.
So Adams got a special permit to drag the pens 6 miles out and then release the chum. But was that enough to save the salmon from becoming black cod dinner? Well, now Adams isn't optimistic. You see, most chum returns to Metavigi come in later than in Cake, but you can predict how many four-year-olds will return by looking at how many three-year-olds came back the year before. And last year, the return rate was tiny, just 0.04%.
0.04% is horrific. It was abysmal. I mean, 2022, it just tanked to the worst that we'd ever seen.
Those fall returns are a late-season lifeline to fishermen, but this year, the fisheries around Metavigi will have to be limited. So, why were there so many black cod in 2020? Dana Hanselman is the director of Auk Bay Laboratories, a federal program which studies commercial fish species. He says sable fish spawn in deep water, and then the larvae need help getting out of there.
And so it's incumbent upon the circulation patterns to be able to transport those larvae into the nursery areas that are in bays and, you know, coastal areas. In warmer years, there's often increased circulation that moves them faster to shore.
Hanselman says that as water temperatures in the Gulf of Alaska have risen this past decade, so too have black cod numbers.
So every year class since 2014 has been at least twice average. And then some of them, like 2019, look to be at least five times bigger than average.
So 2019 into 20, there were five times as many black cod as there have been on average.
Exactly.
Plus, these fish are not picky eaters.
Sable fish are a voracious and opportunistic predator. And by opportunistic, I mean they'll eat anything. They'll eat it quickly.
Now, hatchery managers Schumann and Adams predict that next year's returns will be much better. But if water temperatures continue to rise, black cod could pose an increasing threat to salmon hatcheries and the fishermen who rely on them. Back in Cake, though, Schumann says that for the salmon, it's just another peril in an unforgiving life cycle.
That's a cruel old way to go, but I suppose they're going to die anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They're either going to be eaten by a bear or a seal or an eagle or...
Or gobbled up by more and more black cod. From Cake, I'm Thomas Copeland.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.